Sexual assault and harassment allegations have been all over the news since the explosive expose of movie mogul Harvey Weinstein was first published. Since then, the Me Too awareness campaign has given a voice to many people who have been targets of harassment. And a lot of people, ranging from lawmakers to prominent men in the media, have lost their jobs because of abusive behavior. But there are people who have not benefited from the growing awareness. Men and women who are migrant laborers or who work in service industries are often more vulnerable to this kind of abuse, but they frequently aren't able to advocate for themselves. Bernice Jung is a reporter for Reveal from the Center for Investigative Reporting and author of the forthcoming book, In a Day's Work, The Fight to End Sexual Violence Against America's Most Vulnerable Workers. Bernice, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you for having me.
Well, we've seen a lot of high-profile cases of sexual harassment, sexual assault in the media, politics, entertainment. Are we missing a lot going on under the radar in those less high-profile positions out there?
I would say so. Since about 2012 or so, I've been working with some colleagues at UC Berkeley and also KQED-FM out here in the San Francisco Bay Area to really dive into how this issue plays out among the workers that we don't typically notice, the invisible workers who are doing those low-wage jobs and who are often immigrants. So, for example, we've looked at farm work and also night shift janitorial, hotel housekeeping, restaurant workers, and domestic workers. And this is an issue, sexual harassment, extreme sexual harassment is an issue that these workers face pretty regularly. It's a known workplace hazard for a lot of these workers.
And talk about that a little more. Extreme sexual harassment, and it often just straight up sexual assault, right?
That's right. Unfortunately, because of the isolation of these types of jobs, you know, women working in remote fields on a farm or cleaning a building at night, this kind of sets up a scenario where a lot of workers are particularly vulnerable to very violent sexual harassment, including sexual assault and cases of rape, which we've reported on. So, yes, it is quite extreme. And, you know, this isolation creates a scenario where unscrupulous supervisors or coworkers can really take advantage of you know, the inability for these women to find support and help.
You mentioned the immigration status of the people you've been working with. Can you talk about why that makes them in particular more vulnerable and maybe less able to report?
Absolutely. So a good number of the workers that we've spoken to were not documented, were not authorized to be in the country. And so this created a number of barriers. There are already so many barriers for people to come forward when something like this has happened to them at work. There's the shame, there's fear of not being believed. That is an issue. These are concerns for anyone who's experienced this type of violence at work. But for immigrant workers, the female immigrant workers that we've been talking to, immigration status is also a deep concern. Sometimes there's language barriers. As newcomers, they might not be familiar with the laws of this country and so are not aware that there are laws to protect them. Certainly, they know that what is happening to them is wrong and offensive, but are not always clear on the paths they can take legally in order to prevent this from happening. And then finally, of course, there's just a lot of anxiety and concern around deportation. It's actually used as a threat against a lot of these women to stay silent and to not say anything about what's happening to them. And it's a very potent weapon against these women because you can imagine a number of them might be single mothers. They might have kids who are living here in the United States. And the idea of being separated from their families is just not something that they can really contemplate.
And then you also write that many of these women are in very financially precarious situations, which makes the situation even tougher.
Indeed. I think that is such a critical point. I think that when we're looking at this kind of amazing Me Too moment, what's happening in Hollywood among political staffers and journalists really bravely and boldly coming forward to say this is not acceptable, the dynamics are very similar. There's exploitation and abuse of power by someone with more power. However, what's happening with a lot of these immigrant workers that we've been covering is this very tenuous economic situation that keeps them very tethered and stuck in their jobs. So these are workers who are often living hand-to-mouth, kind of paycheck to paycheck, with a lot of kind of responsibility, financial responsibility for their families. And, you know, we've spoken to workers who have literally been assaulted at work and have been running the math in their head, trying to think about how am I going to find a new job so that I can get away from this horrible situation. But if, in order to do that, that's going to take some time. And when am I going to get my next paycheck? How is that going to work with the bills that I have to pay and the mouths that I have to feed? And so they really just feel stuck in a job far longer than they would like to be when they're dealing with such a horrific situation.
We're talking to Bernice Jung. She's a reporter for Reveal from the Center for Investigative Reporting. We're looking at workplace sexual harassment and workplace sexual assault, but not with perpetrators who end up in the headlines, not the big names. In lower income environments, lower paying environments, often immigrant workers in farms and elsewhere. And Bernice, even if someone does make that decision, a victim in this situation, to try to do something, would they know where to go? Do they have legal recourse? Would they know how to find an attorney who could deal with something like this?
I think that is a big barrier oftentimes. Once somebody gets to that point where they want to say no more and they're ready to leave the situation, they want to make a complaint, they want to seek justice, there is a lot of confusion. As I said earlier, sometimes it's not clear for the newcomer that there is legal recourse. But even then, finding attorneys and finding organizations that can support them through the process can be challenging, especially as we observe with farm workers in rural areas. Just the number of attorneys in rural areas just much lower, especially those who can do more kind of pro bono type work. There are, however, organizations, worker organizations. We've seen unions really take up this issue as a way to help workers understand what their rights are and then connect them with attorneys who can help them find a way forward through the legal system.
We've spent a lot of time talking about the barriers that might make these women vulnerable to assault and harassment, the immigration status, the financial status, maybe language barriers. And yet you write, despite all of that, some people, maybe more, are starting to come forward. What kind of stories have you seen?
Well, we've seen a pretty astonishing situation occur here in California, and I'm sure it's happening elsewhere. But what I know from our experience in California is, following some of this reporting that we've been doing, there was an effort to put forth some legislation in the state of California to require more training and some other provisions to really try to put an end to some of this very extreme violence that we're seeing in the janitorial workplace. And through that process, which was backed by the janitorial union here in California, as well as a number of other organizations supporting workers, we observed an amazing kind of rush to speak up and speak out. And there were rallies and marches throughout the state last year, janitors coming out, holding up signs that said, end rape on the night shift, telling their stories for the first time, testifying in front of the legislators, just really kind of claiming their power in a really tremendous way. The law did actually pass, and we've been able to meet with some of those workers since then. Actually, just last weekend, we went and visited some of the workers again, and it's just amazing to see the shift from fear and just worry and anxiety to this kind of level of empowerment, where they're just saying, "This is not acceptable behavior, and I know that now, and I will, going forward, not tolerate extreme sexual harassment on the job."
So you mentioned a couple of things that could maybe lead to legal changes and enforcement changes. Is there an effort here for a culture change? It seems at whatever level of society we're talking about, when men have leverage, power over women, usually in some cases younger men, they use it for sexual harassment and assault. Are you getting the sense that is going to change, where men don't think that way about having that kind of power?
I certainly hope so. I think what I've seen in some of these trainings that I've been attending as part of the reporting, training for specifically for farm workers and janitors, is an attempt to begin to shift that culture that allows for this type of behavior. And there's decades of social science research that shows that when the leadership makes it very clear within an organization or a company that this type of behavior is not acceptable, there is less of it. Of course, it's not going to go away completely. You can't, you know, micromanage every person's behavior, but it will be reduced. And so the training that I've been seeing among farm workers and janitors is this, again, an attempt to say to the men in the room that you have a responsibility to speak up when you see bad behavior from other men or other women, that it's everybody's role within this kind of work community, so to speak, to say that this is not acceptable. And I think that's kind of a very crucial step toward trying to turn that ship of that cultural ship that will allow us to say, again, this is not acceptable behavior at work.
Bernice, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
Bernice Jung is a reporter for Reveal from the Center for Investigative Reporting and author of the forthcoming book, In a Day's Work, The Fight to End Sexual Violence Against America's Most Vulnerable Workers.